Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sip With Me. I'm your host, Ioana Kekatos.
And I'm your host, Aaron Carlson. We'll release an episode for you every Monday morning, which means you can listen to us during your commute, after work workout, or even enjoy a drink with us during your very own Monday night happy hour.
And who doesn't like to have a little fun on a Monday night? Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share our show.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at sipwithme_ for the latest episode updates, news, and all of your favorite cocktail creations.
This week, we're featuring a very yummy cocktail, the Beauty Elixir Cocktail from liquor.com, and it is the perfect cocktail to drink while you listen to this week's episode. The Beauty Elixir Cocktail features gin, sparkling wine, cava to be exact, strawberry puree, cucumber-infused water, lemon juice, and simple syrup, all served in a coupe glass and garnished with a dehydrated lime wheel. This drink is not only incredibly refreshing, but it's as toast-worthy as its name indicates. To make the Beauty Elixir cocktail, you'll need 1.5 ounces of gin, 3/4 ounce of strawberry puree, 1/2 ounce of cucumber-infused water, 1/4 ounce of lemon juice freshly squeezed, 3/4 ounces of simple syrup, 1/2 ounce of cava or other dry sparkling wine to top, and a dehydrated lime wheel for garnish. You'll add the gin, strawberry puree, cucumber-infused water, lemon juice, and simple syrup into a shaker with ice and shake well. Strain into a coupe glass and top with sparkling wine. Garnish with a dehydrated lime wheel and enjoy. So grab your Beauty Elixir cocktail and let's jump into this week's special guest.
Welcome back. If you know Ioana and her truly fabulous looks, because she is stunning, especially last year during her wedding season, then you know that her lashes are the key to being the confident glowing bombshell who graces all of our Instagram feeds. I wanted to find someone who could talk about Ioana's lashes, her looks, and give our listeners some feel-good advice on how to up their lash game this year. I found that person, and she has the perfect entrepreneurial story to match our passion for following your dreams. Anna Phillips is the founder and chief innovation officer at The Lash Lounge, a premier eyelash salon franchise with over 115 salons across the U.S., and it is continually and fastly growing. Founded in 2006, her specialty beauty concept was the first salon dedicated to eyelash extensions in the U.S. and has since expanded to over 30 states. Anna began her career in IT, but always felt like something was missing, and at a career crossroads in the early 2000s, like many other guests on the show, she knew that it was the right time to make a change, and she decided to pursue her lifelong passion of helping others feel more confident about themselves through lashes. Anna, welcome to Sip With Me.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. And like I said, very excited. Ioana and I have been friends for a decade now.
Yeah.
And since day one in college, when she would go out and party or we would teach Zumba together, her lashes and her brows, they always have been a key part of our friendship and of her look. And I don't know much about them. When Ioana talks about it and beauty and makeup, it all sounds like an art and a craft and genius, and I know nothing. So I'm excited to learn from you because you are the go-to person in this field. And you do have an interesting story. So really to begin, I just kind of want to know kind of back to that early 2000s, kind of where you were at in your career and in your life and how you ultimately decided to go with this and pursue it and kind of how it's played out over the last 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like it's was yesterday and also like a lifetime ago, right?
Uh-huh.
So when I got out of college, I got into the corporate world right away. I actually grew up in Washington State, but moved to Silicon Valley. And this was like late 1990s, right? And so it was booming.
Yeah.
Silicon Valley was growing. I was in IT. And then Y2K happened. And layoffs across the board. And it just so happened the year, so in 1999, I think it was, I took a massage therapy course and got my certification just for pure hobby. I just wanted to learn it.
We just got massages together for the first time.
like a couple massage.
We were in separate rooms, but we were together in spirit on the tables.
We were thinking of each other.
Is your first massage?
Yes.
How'd you like it?
It was rough.
It was,
We should have told them to go light. We're both very small, so.
Well, there's, deep tissue and relaxing, right? Two very different areas. So I started off with this massage therapy certification with no intentions of going that route, but Y2K happened. I was laid off along with a million other people trying to find a job, right? And so I kind of backed up into the massage therapy. The hair salon that I went to, the owner was like, we have a room if you want to rent it. But you got to, drive customers in and you're on your own. It was a rental place. So I did that and I caught the bug. I mean, I'm a hustler, which I didn't realize I was until you get on your own. Uh-huh. And in order to eat, you got to hustle. So I caught the bug, started doing massage, made a complete, career switch. I never wanted to really go back into corporate America anyways. Mm-hmm. And I went back to also get aesthetics license and medical. I learned all these medical facials, and then permanent makeup. I thought I was going to head into a med spa type of arena in the beginning. That was really up and coming at the time. And during that time, I ended up getting a job as the third massage therapist at Google, which was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
It was amazing. They were 1,000 employees, and Sergey was actually one of my regulars.
Stop. That is amazing.
I swear. It was now. And so here's the funny story. I just digress for a little bit. When I was hired, Google was starting to build up this amazing culture that everybody knows they have, right? Mm-hmm. And they had two massage therapists already. They were starting to bring in chiropractors and everything else. Well, they had started the first two massage therapists, with stock and pay. And I remember when I got hired, they're like, we're going to make a switch. So we're not going to do stock, but we'll pay you this ridiculous amount of money per hour. Uh-huh. And we'll guarantee it whether people book or not. And I remember in Silicon Valley, I'm like, oh, that's fine. That's perfect. I don't know if you guys are going to make it. Uh-huh. So I'm like, man, I missed that boat. But
yeah, right. Free RSU.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't my time. So anyways, I worked at Google for until 2003. And that was the year that my husband and I got married. And then his job moved us to Dallas, Fort Worth. So I came out here and had to start from scratch again. So I worked at a med spa, got going. I happened to go to I think it was a permanent makeup class, and I was partnered up. This is early 2004. I was partnered up with a gal whose family distributed beauty products in from overseas. And I'm like, you name it, I've tried it, or I have it in a closet, I'll try anything. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me about this new eyelash, service that was coming. She's like, I swear it's permanent. She called it permanent. I was like, there's no way your lashes would fall out unless you're plugging them.
I wish.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I wish. But I started looking it up, and there was very little information online. There wasn't really any training. I found a couple kits that I bought. The first kit that I got was a trifold brochure. That was my training. And so it was really, having to learn on my own. And what I will tell you, so by this time I'm in Texas, I am working in a med spa, and I had actually moved out. I'm sorry. I was renting a room in a doctor's office now on my own, doing facials, permanent makeup, massage. And I was, starting to do these lashes, and I was recruiting my neighbors and my friends to come be my guinea pigs. And it would take 3 hours. It was mm-hmm. Painstaking. And they would complain the whole 3 hours. And then as soon as they opened their eyes, they're like, oh, they fell in love with themselves. Uh-huh. And I was like, this is the service I love, So I started doing lashes, and I was training for a distributor on the weekend. So I travel and train. And then during the week, I was still, I was doing all my services out in my room. Well, the lash services, because of the nature of it, clients have to book about every 2 to 3 weeks because they fall out. You need refills, right? So my clients were booking up, and my other, my facial, my massage clients couldn't get in. So I realized, like, this is what I need to pivot and start focusing on. This is amazing. At the time in Texas, there were no regulations. So you didn't necessarily have to be a licensed cosmetologist or an esthetician. So I got to the point where I was working, you know, 7 days a week, traveling on the weekends. And I was hiring the neighbor ladies who wanted a little extra work and teaching them how to lash. So this room of mine was like 24/7 pumping. And I was just telling someone the other day, I was like, you know, in fact, I was the only person that was doing lashes that early in Texas, at least in our area. I had a number of clients who would fly in every 2 weeks. I'd pick them up at the airport. They'd come get their refill and they'd taxi back to the airport.
Oh my God.
See that? So anyways, I got hooked, and it got to the point where we could not keep up with the demand in the little room. And I had this crazy idea that I shared with my husband one night. It was like the light bulb went off and on top of my head. I was like, what do you think about like an eyelash salon? Because Dry Bar was out. They had Massage Envies and, you know, all these places. I was like, we could just do eyelashes. And like any good husband, he told me to write up a business plan and pitch it to him. Right?
Of course.
Yeah. Right. But I did. And there was nothing like it out there. So I really didn't know how, you know, what it should even look like.
Yeah.
But I found a space that was about a half mile down the street. And I had a client whose husband was a contractor. So things were just like falling into place. Right. And I just,
we love that.
Now I look back, I'm sure you guys do too. Like, you start looking, and when you're following the right path, I realize like, think yes. The doors were like open, yep. Open, open.
Yep.
Yeah. So I figured out that if my clients would just follow me half a mile down the street, my existing clients, I could pay the bills and say that I tried. But if we got one extra client, we could make a dollar, right? Mm-hmm. And so I opened this location in 2006 was when we opened the doors, had it built out. And within 3 months, we had 5 beds. And they were all like, they had walls that were separating them. And within 3 months, we had to figure out how to add a 6th bed. And we had this big open space. It was kind of like a square retail space, which was a little awkward. You know, we had beds around the outside and then nothing in the middle. And we figured if we put a bed there and put like a hospital curtain on tracks, maybe we could, you know, add that. And most of us were like, nobody's going to want to lay there. That's in the middle of the whole thing. No, it turns out that you could actually put on lashes in the parking lot and women would still lay down. Mm-hmm. For you.
I was going to say, I'll go anywhere for a pair of lashes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could be at a Renaissance fair, they're, you know, eating a turkey leg, and they'll lay down for lashes. So anyways, we added a 6th room. And within 6 months, I was looking for a second location because we were so busy. So that was, you know, within 3 years, basically, 2006, 2007, and 2008, I opened up 3 locations. And after that third one, which was in 2008, and it ended up taking off as well. And it was in this beautiful shopping center that was 80% leased when we signed up. And then of course, in the middle of 2008, we didn't really realize the economy downturn when we were in it until we were looking back. By the time we opened our doors, there was only 2 businesses that stayed open. It was us and Starbucks, which was pretty impressive at the time.
Good to say.
Yeah. So that's how I started. And I had a client who was in franchising, and she kept kind of pitching. She's like, you really need to consider franchising this. You've opened up 3, they're all good. You've got a proof of concept. And so that's how I got into it. And in 2010 is when I started franchising. And that was a different ball game. Franchising is, you know, it's like its own, I'm sure, I know you guys have talked to people with franchising. It's its own business.
Yes.
Nothing. Yeah. And I was like, oh, so it was a slow grow For a while, we'd you know, bring on or open up three or four one year, and then the next year we would just really focus on getting them going really fast. Then we'd, you know, open up a few more. Well, then I had a competitor finally come into the space.
There you go, some drama.
Yeah. And it's like a cattle prod. So now I knew, like, I've got to hit the gas pedal, or yeah, I might be, you know, left in the dust here. So, I ended up bringing in partners that were steeped in franchising, because that was, I can open up an eyelash salon with a blindfold on, but I don't know legal and all that stuff. That's not where I want to be. I'd rather, you know, have a root canal. So, I brought in partners, and within about 2 years after bringing them in, we exploded. We had over 400 licenses sold. Since then, a lot of them are multi-unit, so it takes them, you know, a while to open up. They have a development schedule. A lot of the scheduling landed over the COVID years, so that has put us back to, but we just blew up. And so in 2019, I had the awesome fortune of bringing on a seasoned CEO who worked in another franchise space, grew it, sold it, was great. And what was really awesome, which is so rare, is that we were so in alignment with so many things. A lot of people see a franchise, I think, as a business, and we churn it, you know, let's do it. We got to make the dollar. Other people do it with, which is where I feel like we're in the category. Our first and foremost, we're concerned about our franchisees, our staff, our customers, and I believe, you know, the money will come kind of thing. So I have this awesome CEO, and we started opening up. I think that 1 year we opened up like 75 locations.
Oh, wow.
It was multiple a week.
That's crazy.
So we have around, I think it's 126 as of today.
Wow.
Open. And yeah, more coming.
Oh my God. That is that's a glow up, blow up type of story right there.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I want to know a bit more about the Lash Lounge, you know, where it's at today, what it is, what you offer, all that kind of stuff.
From a franchise or just a salon, like services wise?
Yeah.
I feel like there's so it really is what we, I'm going to back up to and tell you, when I opened up that first one, I had no intentions of ever, I didn't even think I'd open up a second or a third, let alone a franchise. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I opened it up and I put this little boutique in the front, and it was mostly so I could buy myself clothes at wholesale. And then we, you know, we added it in all the locations. And then as soon as we started franchising, we realized like that isn't what our focus is. So we had to figure out how to get rid of the boutique and really dial in what we were good at, which was lashes. So we have evolved. We don't stray too much, but we do lashes and brows mostly. I mean, we do lash extensions, we do the tinting, brow lamination, those kinds of things. And we are sticklers for training. That is the biggest thing for us. We provide free training for any stylist who is hired at a Lash Lounge location, a franchise or wherever. It has to go through our training, just like you would if you went to McDonald's, I think. But our training it's at least 2 weeks long, and then they are put into a paid situation where they're practicing to get their skills up before we even, and so people can come for free services, but before we start charging people, we want them to be set up for success. So the training has been amazing. And what I've been able to find myself now that I have this awesome CEO in place is I've been able to step back into the CIO, but for me, it's a chief innovations officer. Normally it's information. So I get a lot of IT related cold calls, you know, wrong person. So now I'm back in being able to come up with products and services and vet them out. And that's my wheelhouse.
Okay. Well, that's how you know one that you have a good concept and that you executed on it well, and that you personally are in the right spot when you have a team you can trust and a business plan that works, and then you can focus on the creative, the innovation, the stuff that makes your business special and ultimately have a much longer shelf life and longevity. So that's awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And kind of looking into the future, how do you think this industry overall is kind of evolving and changing? And then what's next for the Lash Lounge?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So I'm still amazed at how many people have either never heard of these lashes or have never tried them, right? Because I've been personally in it for over 20 years now. I feel like it's at least a household knowledge, but so I feel like there's a lot of growth in terms of women reaching a broader audience. Like, I think everybody's at least tried nails, right? Mm-hmm. They've gone to get their nails done, or they get their hair done or something, one of those. I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see where everybody has, you know, tried or has had an experience with lashes. Number two, I think that there's, I'm also kind of amazed at how innovative the product continues to become. I'll give you a for instance. When I started doing lashes, they're fake lashes, so they're not like a real hair. We use a faux lash that is made with a sanitary material, but it's curled to mimic a natural lash, and then we attach it one hair at a time, right? But when we would get it, it was like a ball of loose lashes, and we had to learn. I mean, if you turned a fan on, they all go poof. I mean, it was a mess. And so we had to learn how to pick them up painstakingly, like from this ball. And then they came like 2012, they come on these strips, like a tray with 16 rows of strips. So they're already standing up. And I was like, it felt like cheating. And over the years, the lashes have become thinner and thinner. So now you can do volume where you're attaching more than one hair to one lash, you know, to give that fuller look, which is amazing. Now they're making these, and they've always had fans you can get at. So they call them tabs or clusters or whatever you want to call them. You can get them at the Walgreens, CVS, whatever, right? But they have now pro-made fans, which are literally made by someone already in a, you know, at the plant, and they come in and they're all set out on a line and you can pick them up and apply them. And so what I'm seeing is that last year we rolled out these pro-made fans. I now have a lot of connections with manufacturers overseas. So I get a lot of the, you know, insight before it comes out and hits the mass market. We're still kind of seeing how this shakes out, but we rolled it out to the whole system by July last year. We're seeing that new stylists are ramping up in half the time. So where it used to take maybe 3 months for them to really get proficient, it's now like a month and a half, which is great. We're also seeing that the quality is much better and the service time. So where it took me 3 hours, you know, when I was doing my first sets, it's now like an hour. It's cutting it like more than in half, which is amazing.
I was going to say that to me, when I, again, as I mentioned at the start, I know pretty much nothing about lashes and brows and makeup, etc. But for me, being somebody that hears other people talk about it, the biggest barrier to trying it, like somebody would, you know, go and probably try their nails for the first time if they never had, probably with not too much hesitation, is the amount of time barrier.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Time and cost, I think, you know, but that we're seeing a lot of people are now discounting that first, you know, cost. So it's really, you're right. Time is the biggest. Yeah. And I will just to add too, so what I am seeing now, and I had an idea, and this is where my IT background comes in. Like, I know just a little bit enough to think bigger on a bigger scale and something that could involve more, maybe more technology. And I haven't, obviously I didn't patent anything or make it, but there is a company now. What I had in mind is I see like a robotics, you know, where it's like a VR glasses or something where it can come in and it could adjust the humidity and the temperature just perfect. So the glue, I mean, it's a chemical, the glue, you can't imagine how tricky that is. but it could attach it like you're doing a LASIK kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They have a giant robot. Someone built a robot that's attaching lashes now.
Of course.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, another 10 years, it may be like a car wash situation. Wow. Where you're going through, lay down, robot puts your lashes on, and you're out in 20 minutes. I don't know.
Ooh.
That's amazing.
I like this futuristic outlook.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, we end every episode with a round of rapid fire. So we have 6 questions for you, and we just want your first gut instinct answer.
All right.
All right. She's ready. Ioana, you want to go first?
Yes. Okay. Biggest misconception about lash extensions?
That they damage your lashes.
Like it?
That's
like
a good one.
Yes. Best tip to prolong the lifetime of your lash extensions?
Don't mess with them. Like, get them on, maybe brush them in the morning and before you go to bed, but the less you mess with them, the longer they'll last.
I like that. Ioana, I've seen you have to mess with them before.
Yeah, I do. I'm really bad. I need to work on not touching them.
It's hard. I know.
Yeah. I'm a bigger. Yeah. Okay. I recently got married in July. So I want to know what would you recommend to a bride as like the go-to bridal lash style?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I will tell you one of the things, I can't remember the years, but a couple of years back, 3 years ago, I started noticing as I was doing training and where we do framework. And when I say framework, that's the style, like where you're placing your links, right? And I started noticing this pattern based on where the eyes fall. So if you were to hold like a ruler and connect the inner eyes, wherever the outer eye falls, above, in line, like straight, or below, there is a pattern that complements that eye shape perfectly. And it's without fail. One eye could even be down and one could be up. And if you do the pattern on both eyes, like differently, they actually come out looking symmetrical. So when I tell people, like as a bridal, everybody comes in and they want the cat eye look. Cat eye does not look good on everyone. Mm-hmm. I love, and I feel like it's a pretty generic, it's a style that looks good on everyone, is where you put most long links throughout the middle and it's kind of tapered just a little bit on the outside. But that would be my, you know, if I didn't know what kind of eye shape you had, I would usually just go to that, and that always comes out looking beautiful. But mostly I would adjust it based on their eye shape.
Like
this is advice saying I didn't have lash extensions on my wedding day, and that's the one, because I got married in Greece, and that was like the one thing I was really missing.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
I hear you. I didn't have them either. Now I look back at pictures and
yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about eyelashes?
I love the transformation that they provide to people. I remember hearing this years ago, and it was like in a conversation I had with some of my staff, and one of them was like, you know, it's like you're applying confidence directly to their eyes. And that is, that's the truth. They open up and all of a sudden it's like Beyonce, you know,
attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like what, like when I first met Ioana and like saw pictures of her, it was always just like, it's that wow factor where you just see it. And it's like, that person is just exuding this glow, and I really do have always believed that it came down to the lashes. That was like what stepped it up above.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's really
I think so too.
Okay, favorite celebrity lashes?
Oh my gosh, you can't go wrong with Kim K.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's got like these wispy spiky lashes that have become a cult following. I mean, we have requests for Kim K lashes, and we're like, we have to figure out how to train on this now.
Yeah, what's the standard operating procedure for the Kim K?
Yeah, spiky.
We need to get, does Kim K go to the lash lounge?
I wish.
Yeah, we need to tag her.
Yeah.
We will tag her, yes.
Okay.
All right, last question, since we are a cocktail hour themed podcast, what is your go-to cocktail or favorite non-alcoholic beverage of choice?
Oh my gosh, such a great question. So I love. I just got introduced to this. I'm not going to say it right. Carajillo. Have you heard of this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Why do I
like
know?
Coffee, like espresso and liquor 43.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had that. I just got back from Mexico and I think I had that there. I think that's why that name is coming to my head.
Yes. It's a Spanish drink. I forget about it. And then whenever I come to Mexico, they're serving them. I'm like,
I just had that. That's why I had never heard of it before. And I saw it because it was unique.
Yep. That's my favorite. I really don't drink a lot. I drink a lot of water and I just don't have time.
Same.
Yeah.
We're a one drink kind of group. So
yeah. So make it good, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Tell everyone where they can find more information on the Lash Lounge, where they can follow you and how they can book some services.
Awesome. So we just thelashlounge.com is our website. I emphasize the word the because most people sometimes they leave it off. Thelashlounge.com. There's locations across the country. They'll be able to click on the button and find the closest location. There's all kinds of information about the services, pricing, everything they want to know. And then, of course, we've got Instagram and Facebook, and it's all just a handle at the Lash Lounge.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you for joining us. I am very excited to see how you keep growing. I mean, my God, you really have just kind of take off from the runway in the last couple of years. It's really, it's pretty fast for that kind of story. So congrats to you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for listening to Sip With Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book, as well as other exciting Sip With Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram @sipwithme_.